Okay, good morning, good vach. We have an interesting, topic this morning to discuss within the tshuvas of Rav Asher Weiss and Minchas Asher. So we haven't spoken, at all about this topic yet, about Hilchos Yichud, but this tshuva is all about Hilchos Yichud. It's about a very particular, very interesting shayla, which we'll spell out in just a few moments. But what's important to know is that Hilchos Yichud is a very, very important area of halacha. It's an area of halacha that is very relevant. It comes up all the time. It's something which needs to be treated extremely carefully because not only is it, as we'll talk about soon, probably an Isser D'Oraisa, but it's also something which is an Isser D'Oraisa which has tremendous risks, which has a serious, serious import, and protects from even more serious Isserim D'Oraisa. So Hilchos Yichud is something that should not be ignored. It's something that should be treated very seriously. It's something which we won't be able to do a full treatment on today, but what's advantageous about this tshuva of Rav Asher Weiss is that it's a fascinating shayla. It's an interesting shayla. It's actually important for us right now, not because it came up during the war, but it is about Tzahal. It is about the soldiers in Eretz Yisrael, so it's important to think about them, even though, again, this isn't a challenge particular to the current situation. It's important to have them in our minds. It's important because he quotes some previous sources that spell out some important details about Hilchos Yichud, which will give us an opportunity at least to spell out some generalities about the halachas, which is great. And also, it's important because of his way of thinking in this tshuva, that he comes up with a kula, or that you may not have expected in the beginning. He spends so much time in Hilchos Yichud and comes sort of out of left field with another answer to the question. So it gives us a great walkthrough in terms of the halachic process. So it's a great tshuva for us to spend time on. So let's start at the very beginning with the shayla. And even before the shayla, let's just make note of who the shoel was. The question was asked to... this is in Chela Gimel, Simon Pei Tess. You have the sheets in front of you. The question was asked from, was asked by, Kvod Yedid Nafshi HaMetsuyan, Reb Ariel Bar Eli Shlita. So Rav Asher Weiss here is writing, he's addressing his tshuva to Rav Ariel Bar Eli, who's a contemporary. He's, I don't know, he's probably in his 50s, low 50s right now. He's a young man. Ram b'yeshiva v'dayin mumcha b'ir steirot. So Rav Asher Weiss famously, I don't know how famous it is, but it's somewhat well known, that he travels to Steirot. I don't know, currently, I think he may have actually started going again, but obviously they were not occupied for quite some time over the past few months. But he goes to Steirot, I do not know how often, whether it's weekly or monthly, but he goes to deliver a shir there. That's not an obvious, not a given. With all the politics and with all the factions and all the separations in Eretz Yisrael, one of the things that the people know about Rav Asher Weiss is that those lines, they exist, but they're blurred. There's something that he's not as, something that doesn't, it would be impressive to you how open-minded he is and how comforting he is to people outside of his box and how much he reaches such a wide swath of the Jewish people, which is one of the things that makes him a gadol, more than just a rav, but a gadol, is that he can reach so many people on so many levels. So he goes to Steirot and he has a relationship with the people there. This Rav Ariel Bar Eli is actually a grandson, if it means anything to you, of Moshe Tzvi Neria, one of the Talmidim of Rav Kook, someone who was an important figure in terms of spreading the Torah of Rav Kook after he passed away, and helping people understand what Rav Kook was and what he wasn't. This Rav Bar Eli was a ram, like it's spelled out here, in the yeshiva in Steirot. He was also a dayan in Steirot, but since then he has become the Rav of Beit El. I took over for people, you probably heard of the names, Rabbi Melamed. The one that you're probably familiar with is his father, Rav Zalman Baruch Melamed, and Rav Aviner, we probably heard of some of us, serious people in the Dati Leumi community. So he's the Rav of that community in Beit El now. So that's the tshuva is being written to this person, to Rav Ariel Bar Eli. He's also an author of some svarim, some interesting svarim on Kosher Mishpat. I think one of them is actually translated to English called Kosher Money. I think it was called Kesef Kusher in Hebrew, so it wasn't such a hard job for the translator to get the title right. Kosher Money. I think since then LeBron James wrote some song about that or something, if I recall. But he's a Talmid Chacham who has a particular affinity for and expertise in Hilchos Chosh and Mishpat. Either way, he's writing a shayla here, not at all about Chosh and Mishpat, and the shayla is as follows. We'll read it together. You look inside. Bameshe Shal, this is the question. Im yesh iser yichud bebunker tatzpis. Bunker tatzpis, what's that? What's a bunker? Bunker, very good. Wow, you guys take all pond or something? Good. Tatzpis?
Tower?
Close. I mean, it could be that way. That would be helpful. It means observation. So tzipia, tzipisa li Yeshua means to anticipate. So to overlook or to anticipate. That's why a tower might be a good example. But a bunker, tatzpis, a bunker is usually underground. So they're underground, but it's an observatory underground bunker in the army, which means shebo yoshvin shnei tzavasim shel chayalim, two staff, groups of soldiers in Tzahal sit there mul machshevim, facing computers, v'sokrim es shetach hagvul, and all they're doing is they're sitting there in this bunker watching the screens, making sure there's no movements, there's no anything going on the border. They're the ones overlooking and making sure that the area is safe. Alachayalim liyos mirukazim rikos mirbi v'lasim lev l'kol hasrachshos v'snua hamofiim al hatzag. They have to be extremely careful and extremely focused and attentive the entire time. They cannot break their focus and make sure that if they see any movements, any peculiarities, anything strange at all occurring, they have to sound the alarms. They have to send out the troops. They have to make sure they're on their guard the entire time. They have to be very focused. However, lepa'amim tzeves echad ushal chayalos v'asheni ushal chayalim. It's a group of four, two and two. Sometimes it's two men and two women. Sometimes that happens. The haloba laila obesada, what's going to happen is that they're going to be there overnight in this secluded, very secluded area, underground bunker, two men, two women, two young men, two young women. They're sitting there overnight in the middle of an area that's not occupied and in a place that's very secluded. Generally speaking, there's an Isser Daraisa, we'll get to the level soon, but an Isser probably biblically Daraisa of one man and one woman. Even one man with two women will also be an issue, and then we could talk about three women and things like this, but these are all like long sugyas that we have to talk about. But two men and two women is assumed to be an issue as well, for two men to be alone with two women, if it's overnight, if it's late at night, or if it's in a very secluded area like a field. We'll talk about the reasons why as we get down the line. That's going to be important for the halach l'maisa here, but that is an issue to have two men and two women during the night, or in a secluded place. This seems to be both of those things. It's going to be overnight in the bunker, and it's going to be in a very secluded place that I hope, for security purposes, nobody can access, nobody can get into, except for the people who absolutely have to be there at that time. So now we're talking about a case, potentially, of yichud. So anyone have any thoughts before we even begin? What the issue is clear what the issue is, but what...
Why two should be okay?
That's what we just mentioned from the Shulchan Aruch. The Shulchan Aruch and the Rama say, that, and the Beis Shmuel tells us the reason, that generally speaking, that might have been okay, but if it's late at night or if it's in a very secluded area, we'll talk about the reason soon, there's a issue even for two men and two women to be alone in Yichud. So anyone have any thoughts about why this might be different?
Wartime.
Wartime, so what?
Save lives.
Okay, so like a general heter pikuach nefesh. So generally speaking, this is a very important thing, by the way. Generally speaking, of course, pikuach nefesh overrides everything. There's two issues to deal with here. One, this is a very basic one that could be knocked off very basically, is if there's a way out, meaning it doesn't have to be that it has to be two men and two women, so how hard do you have to fight to like make sure it's two men? Right, that's something to talk about. Two is that, and by the way, and one pushback to that, I've had this in the hospital even, during childbirth. We had one baby we had on Friday, but one baby we had on Yom Kippur. So we were there once on Yom Kippur. One of the things you have to realize is that even if you're trying to avoid breaking Shabbos by getting the right nurse and the right doctor and all these things, throwing off the system in a hospital is also problematic. Just as an example, when we were there, my son Malkiel was born on Yom Kippur night, Kol Nidre night. So we got to, we had the Uber set up beforehand. My wife had a, what are they called when they have the stomach aches, whatever they're called.
Contractions.
Yes, contractions. Yeah, yeah. My understanding is they're pretty minimal. That's why I forgot the term. But yeah. I remember stubbing your toe. I remember that pain. But contractions, whatever it is. So she was having the contractions during Kol Nidre time. So we went. We didn't know we were going to go in, but we had the Uber set up from beforehand the whole 9th month. So we had the Uber set up. We went. I pressed the button on my nose. It was a whole, you know, we avoided a lot of things. We had the Uber driver carry the bags in. We tried to avoid everything. No automatic doors. We get into the room. And we were very, you know, happy with how we kept Yom Kippur very well until that point. And then we had this nurse who was very kind and, I mean, seemed clearly not Jewish also. And she knew even that we were Jewish, knew it was Yom Kippur, and said, you know, they make you, like, sign for your possessions when you're there. So that's not pikuach nefesh. I mean, like, my wife, you know, the blood test and all those things, those are all pikuach nefesh. She's taking care of her life. But to sign to make sure that they didn't steal any of our wallets or any of our bags or any of our whatever... I machzer, whatever I had. So you have to sign your possessions into there to make sure they're not achray, they're not responsible for these things. So we didn't want to sign that on Yom Kippur. So we said, we're mochel. If you steal it, it's okay. It's no big deal. So she said, no, I know. I'm happy to, you know, do the signing for you. So she said, what's your name? So my wife's name is Shoshana. She said, Shoshana Steinmetz. So as she's writing, she said, oh, Shoshana, that's my Hebrew name also. So we're like, oh gosh, we were so good. We thought we had it. And here she is. She's doing the malacha for us. So then at that point, we just started to think on top of that, well, now there's like 100 nurses here. So probably 99 of them, I mean, maybe not. We're in the New York area. So probably 50 of them are not Jewish, are Gaish. So why not try to arrange that we shouldn't have why should we have her work on our behalf? So there's a lot to talk about, whether there's at all an Isser for her. Maybe it's better for her to work for us because she's doing Pikuach Nefesh, and she's a Jew, and now she's not violating Yom Kippur. Maybe it's not because her intentions aren't that way. There is a lot to discuss, but one of the things that I spoke about with her Shechter, not at the time, because her Shechter was keeping Yom Kippur, so I couldn't call him. One of the things we spoke about after, I think on Sukkot, was that there's another thing to think about, which is that if you start asking for these favors in the hospital, you're throwing off a whole big system. It's not just that you're not the only person in the hospital. If they start switching nurses on the shift, a lot of things can break down easily when you have a system. And this is very important in the army also. Even when we think something is, you know, is possible to change in order to accommodate certain halachos, you have to think in the bigger framework. It might not seem like pikuach nefesh for your case, but how does that affect the entire system of the tzal, of the army? You start shifting the shifts here and you make it two men and two women. Instead, you change it to two men and two men. Then you have to put two women somewhere else. There could be a breakdown very quickly when it gets confusing. So these issues of pikuach nefesh are real. They are serious. But here, assuming, you know, there was some way around it, So pikuach nefesh might not have been the primary issue. Anyone else have the other issue with saying pikuach nefesh is the answer here is that we know that there are three things which a person does give up their life for. One of them is isurei arayos, illicit relations. Now, this is not an issue of relations. This is just people being alone. The question is whether yichud fits into the category by extension of the isur gila arayos. It's not clear that it does, but it's something to work on separately. So those are not the obvious answers, although they are important to consider, pikuach nefesh. What Rav Asher Weiss here says is that the Shoal, Rabbar Eli, said, I have a different reason, and that's called mishum. If you look inside in the bold, imyesh heter mishum deba'aviditayu tridi. What does that mean? These chayalim, these soldiers, are very caught up in their work. They're very focused on their job right now. They cannot look away from the screen. If they look away from the screen, rachman otzlan, terrible things can happen. So what? So what, that they're focused on their job? So the question was, do we have a heter, since they're so focused on their job, they're not going to take a break, they're not going to take time off to do something totally inappropriate. They have to take care of the job. They can't even go to the bathroom for more than 2 minutes. They have to be very, very careful about what they're doing. So maybe that takes away the whole Isser Yichud. Maybe the Isser Yichud disappears because they're so busy with their job, they're so focused, that there's no time to do that Isser, and therefore we're not concerned. So this is something that the Shoal wanted to know. So Rabbi Shoal starts by just quoting for us, yes?
So you made it sound like it's an avera in itself, separate from arayos.
We have to talk about that still. That is a discussion in the Achronim, based on the Rishonim, whether Isser Yichud is its own issue, which it certainly is also that, or is it an issue because it leads to arayos? And if it's the latter, then if you can find cases where it's impossible for some reason to lead to arayos, then there may be heter. Rav Asher Weiss is of that opinion. In an earlier volume of Minchas Asher, I think in Chelik Aleph, he has a kuntras on Hilchas Yichud, very worthwhile to read. Interesting shilas, like elevators and cars and things like that. One of the things he deals with is someone elderly, but like elderly to the point that they're sort of incapacitated. They're not able to really function in a normal way, and they have a female nurse on staff. So is that going to be staff, whatever, in their house? So is that going to be an Isser Yichud all the time when they're living in a house with a female nurse? So if a person's so incapacitated that there's nothing to worry about, there's no concern possible at a Kalita Rayos, so he is Makel in that case. It's not 100% clear, not everyone's Makel, but that touches exactly on what you're talking about. Ah, so Rashi Weiss here says, you know, the source, yeah.
I'm going to be reading ahead somewhat, but he discusses in the next line, he says, it sounds like he's saying that they're very busy.
Right.
If they don't do it, there's going to be, it sounds like either they're going to be punished.
Yes, yeah. We're going to come back to that, Bli Nether. Sure, we're going to come back to that Bli Nether, whether we need that or whether it's possible, but that's a concept called mirtas in halacha, which means that sometimes even if the first issue we're talking about, which is aviditayu tarid, wouldn't apply, but there's another issue, which is that if they were caught not paying attention, even if it wasn't for illicit relations, even if it was because they were checking their phone, even if it was because they were checking the score in the EULA game last night, whatever they were doing, if they took time off from looking at the screens, they'd be in big trouble. They'd be, what's it called? You get sanctions? I don't know what it's called. Huh? Yeah, court-martialed, they'd be kicked out of the army. It'd be terrible if they were caught not watching their guard. So that is a svara here as well, but we're not up to it yet. But yes, it is important. So Rashi Weiss here begins by saying, you know, this heter does exist. There is such a thing as aviditayu tarid, of the fact that you're involved in your job takes away the issue in a different area that seems related, but somewhat different. Now, we're going to, we could smirk at this, but you have to realize the society that they were living in was completely different, the way that they interacted with animals at the time. Nowadays, you see an animal and you go to the zoo, or some people here have a dog, but half of everyone's dogs were neutered before they bought them, hopefully before they bought them. So there's not so much times where you interact with the following case, but you have to realize when you grew up in an agricultural culture, which also, you know, was a farm life and everything like that, people interacted with animals all the time. It was part of their job, and part of that job was making sure the animals reproduced, so they had more animals on their farm. So the Gemara, in two places, Rav Asher Weiss quotes them, has an interesting thing. It says, you know, a person has to, for his job, he has to make sure the two animals mate. So he says, really, the Gemara says, really, we shouldn't be watching that happen because it can cause hirhurim. It can cause illicit thoughts. Sounds ridiculous. Who would think about when they're looking at an animal? Again, it's not the reality that we live in. That's why we don't relate to it. But you can imagine that if someone was involved in that every single day, it became part of their life. So it was a different relationship towards that reality. So anyways, you shouldn't really be looking at that. It seems inappropriate. So the Gemara says it's not an issue if a person is professional, if he's a farmer by profession, because he's viditayu tarid. This guy who's helping these two animals mate, he's not having any inappropriate thoughts. He's thinking about dollar signs. Right? He's thinking about how much money he's going to make by having another, I don't know what kind of animals we're talking about, chicken or horse or whatever we're talking about. I'm going to have more money. I'm going to have more animals. That's what he's thinking about. His mind is not on something inappropriate. It just can't go there. And therefore, it's not an issue. And based on that, the poskim do, and the Rosh Weiss quotes this, the poskim do translate that to the realm that matters to us, which is doctors. And we know there's it goes both directions, but the more common case is that a woman wants to go to a doctor, and the doctor is a male doctor. That could be any type of doctor. In particular, it becomes even more complicated when it's an OBGYN. In those cases, a woman wants to go to a doctor, and the doctor is a male. Is that permissible? So Rav Asher Weiss says that a lot of people take this Gemara about Avidutayu Tarid and apply it, and say, look, the same way that you're allowed to go ahead and mate these animals together and we're not concerned, so too the doctor is being paid. He's professional. He has the Hippocratic Oath. He has all these things behind him. This is all professional. This is all just his... Did I get that right? Hippocratic Oath? Okay. He has all of this stuff behind him. This is just a regular job. This is his job. This is nothing that he's thinking about inappropriate. And therefore, it's permissible for a woman to go to such a doctor. That's something that the poskim do discuss. In this context, you know, we're not going to spend too much time on it. Rav Asher Weiss questions that application because he thinks there's like a jump over there from Isser. There's a jump. Again, we don't have time to get into everything, but there's a jump that logically the poskim are making. But Rav Asher Weiss comes out and explains basically as follows. He says that if you think about it, now this is, we're going to take two steps here, you'll see soon. If you think about it, there's an Isser d'oraisa of negiyah, of touching, in a case where it's derech chiba, in a case where it's affection, in a case where it's romantic in any way whatsoever. However, when a touch is not affectionate, not romantic at all, something that's totally businesslike and totally divorced from any inappropriate thoughts or inappropriate feelings, then it's certainly not an iser d'oraisa. So the question is, what is it? So Rav Asher Weiss here assumes that it's possibly derabbanan. It's still usher to touch, but it's usher midrabbanan. It's only rabbinic in nature. Once it's only rabbinic in nature, in that case, the poskim said, you're allowed to be make, allowed to be lenient when you're dealing with a case of a doctor and a patient, because anyways, it's in a context that's totally business-like, totally professional. We'll see in a second there's room to go even further than that. So the what's interesting in terms of the poskim, he's probably referencing some of this, Reb Moshe Feinstein has a few tshuvas about this. In Chelek, in Yoredeya, in Igros Moshe, Chelek Gimel, Reb Moshe is makel on this doctor-patient case. The doctor is a male, the patient is a female, and he's makel because of what we just said, that the doctor is caught up in his job. He's not thinking about anything else. He's thinking about professionally taking care of his job, and there's no issue. However, in other places, Rav Moshe Feinstein is not as clear about this at all. If you look, there's an interesting book called Psichas HaEgros, which was, I forget who the author is, but a contemporary, it was written a few years ago. He collects like all the poskim who disagreed with Rav Moshe Feinstein about different tshuvas. It's very respectful. He does it in a very respectful way. He calls Rav Moshe Feinstein Rabbeinu, and he's quoting the people who respectfully disagreed with him. It's not an antagonistic sefer at all, but it's an interesting sefer because Rav Moshe became such a big paisik that if you dealt with Shilas after Rav Moshe, you better have learned the Igros Moshe. So everyone's constantly either quoting him or avoiding him whenever they're writing tshuvas. So it's an interesting thing to collect all the people who disagree or comment on his psukim. So there he quotes up to five cases in Igros Moshe where Moshe goes back and forth on the issue of touching and also what we're talking about, which is going to be yichud, but specifically touching when the case is one in which there's no affection, there's no romance at all in that case of touching. What's an example where this comes up?
Handshakes.
Okay, so handshakes. So here, Moshe Feinstein, I think, has four or five tshuvas where he says, yeah, no, yeah, no, yeah, no. He's all over the place over here. Certainly, a man should never stick out his hand to a woman. A woman should never stick out her hand to a man to shake hands. That's obvious. But what if it's done? What if someone's standing there and a woman sticks out their hand to the man and asks for a handshake? So what do you do in that scenario? So in Igros Moshe, in Chelek Aleph of Evan Ezra, I believe, in Simin Nun Vav. So Rav Moshe writes that some people are makil. Some people allow that handshake to take place once it was stuck out already and the person is just responding because that seems like Rav Moshe saying, because that's not the derech chiba. He doesn't think that's an affectionate thing. It's just a handshake. It's a business-like thing. It's not a big deal at all. Rav Moshe there says you shouldn't rely on that kula. You shouldn't rely on that leniency. You shouldn't shake hands in such a scenario. Not clear if he's saying that it's because he thinks it is Derech Chiba or because he thinks that it's still Usser, even though it isn't. That's not 100% clear. And like I said, there are many stiros, but on top of the stiros, there's also stories that go back and forth. In Rav Moshe Sternbach's Tshuvas, he quotes a case, interesting Shaila. There's a child, a man, who found out only after he was already an adult that his mother was not really his mother. She was an adoptive mother. So he always thought she was his real mother. Now she finds out that she's his real mother in another way, but she's an adoptive mother. So he wants to know about hugging and kissing and even just like holding her hand. So there, Rav Moshe Sternbach has a whole tshuva about this. And in that context, he says to the guy who's asking the question, you told me that you asked Rav Moshe Feinstein, and Rav Moshe Feinstein was mekel. Not only on shaking hands, but on kissing the mother. Because when we're talking about derech chiba, even kissing, if it's your mother, it's not derech chiba. It's not romantic. It's just, it's loving, that's true, but it's something which is so divorced from any inappropriate thoughts that this should be totally permissible. He says, Rav Moshe Feinstein told you that this is okay. Which is a fascinating thing, because we have on the books Rav Moshe going back and forth about this with handshaking and with all these things. So you have to figure out where he exactly stands. Not 100% clear. The Chaznish is famous for having said, Rav Moshe Sternbach quotes this in other places as well, and the Stipler, his brother-in-law, said this too, in two places in the letters in Krayna d'Igrisa, that there's never a heter to shake a woman's hand. There's never a heter. Even if she sticks out her hand, even if she's going to be embarrassed, even if it's going to hurt her feelings, it's never okay. And they quote the Chaznish as saying that it's Yehar V'Yavar, that the same way that you have to give up your life not to be involved in arayos, so too you have to give up your life not even to shake the hand of a woman, even if she's going to be embarrassed, even if her feelings are going to be hurt. That is the strong stance of the Bnei Brak poskim. However, my Rabbi Rav Shechter Shlita often quotes, he disputes this on one level, and he often quotes a story to corroborate it. Apparently, Rav Shimon Shkup, who was from the Gedolim of the, you know, those previous generations in Europe, he came to YU for a year, but he was, you know, mostly in Europe. So, he had a daughter who, Rahman Slan, she went off the derech. I think she was a communist, but she was definitely fry. She was definitely off the derech. And she had her friends were also obviously not from like her. So one time he went to visit his daughter, he went to see her at the house, and she came out, she hugged her father, whatever, and the Rav Shimon Shkup is standing there, and her girlfriend, her friend who's in the house with her, she comes out to see him. So she sees a big rabbi, so she sticks out her hand to shake his hand. He's like the God Lador. So apparently he stuck out his hand and shook her hand as well. And he explained that it's true that you're not supposed to shake hands with a woman. Obviously, you're not supposed to shake hands. But it would have been such a halbanas panim. It would have been so embarrassing, such a lack of kavod brio, so hurtful to this young lady that she tried to give an honor or respect to the rabbi, and he dissed her. So he felt that that outweighed the concerns of Nagia. Rav Shechter often quotes this and supports this, and that's an important thing to know about. It's something we should never initiate, obviously, but it's something which he thinks, at least when it's a bidyevit scenario where the hand is already stuck out, that a person would be allowed to do so. So you can go all the way from the range is unbelievable of Yehar V'Yavar to permissible. That's a difficult span to run, but that's the postkim's view over here. Regarding a lady visiting a male doctor, maybe we'll come back to Blue Nether, most poskim do suggest it's permissible me'ikar din. I do believe that's the common practice. Not necessarily to choose that, but there's a common practice that if that's the best doctor, women do go to a male doctor. There are poskim who do say that ideally a woman should try to find a female doctor. It's more comfortable and also halachically it's better. But if she can't, she would go to a male doctor. But ideally she would try to do so. Moshe Sternbach is rabidly anti this whole thing. We'll talk about it at the end if we have time. But most of the postgame and the common practice is to be mekel on this. I didn't know anything. I never asked Rav Shechter about it, but I texted my friend Rabbi Isaac Rice, who's a Talmud of Rav Shechter, who's asked him many more questions than me this morning, if he's ever asked Rav Shechter about this, and he sent me his notes, that Rav Shechter replied, yes, ideally it would be best to try to find a female doctor. That is true. But it is permissible. It is mutter, me'ikar din. If a woman is stuck, to go to a male doctor, absolutely no question about it. Okay. Now, says Rav Shechter Rice, amnam. Legabe in the bold. Legabe iser yichud yesh la'ayin. Dehalo iser zemen haTorah. When we talk about yichud, we're not talking about negia, touching, shelo derechiba, which isn't romantic, which isn't affectionate. We're talking about an iser daraisa of yichud. And we're not talking about a derabanan, which can now be knocked off because of some svara, some logic that, hey, they're busy with their job. We're talking about the real deal. We're talking about a pasuk in the Torah, right? So, first of all, not so clear. He quotes the Shulchan Aruch, he quotes the Torah. But there's a big discussion whether Isser Yichud is actually an Isser Daraisa or not. If you look in the Gemara in Kedushin and Daf Peyam Beis, the Gemara says, Remez liyichud min haTorah minayin. What does Remez mean? A hint, an allusion. Where do we find an allusion in the Torah? Now, on the one hand, no, the Gemara will never ask, you know, Remez li, I don't know, think what's a good Darabana, Neros Shabbos, I don't know. It happens to be near Shabbos, might have Remez, but it would never ask, what's a hint for, what's a good, Purim's coming up. The Gemara would never say, Remez le Megillas Esther, or Remez le, Mishloach Manos, Minatora Minayin. Why not? because it's rabbinic. It's derabanan. So you don't need to ask where it is in the Torah. It's not in the Torah. It's derabanan, correct? So here the Gemara is saying, remez liichud min ha-Torah, minayin. So that does sound like it's deraisa. On the other hand, the word remez sounds like hint, allusion. It's not literally in the Pesukim. It's not mamish found there. It's not explicit. So this is a complicated thing. This is a machlokas, the Rambam and the Ramban, in the beginning of Sefer HaMitzvos, the Shrashim, where the Rambam delineates how he's exactly going to count his mitzvos. So there the Rambam and the Ramban engage in a dispute about this as to exactly how to understand the word remez. But if you look in the Gemara all over, it's a little bit confusing. The Gemara Nivamos and Daf Chaf Aleph says remez l'shnios men ha-Torah minayin. There, the Gemara is certainly talking about derabanan. Shnios are secondary yisuri arayos, which are certainly rabbinic in nature. Gemara in Moikatan Daf Hey Amad Aleph says remez for tziyun kvarim. Tzion Kvaros, I don't remember if it's Nekeva or Zachar, but a remez that you are supposed to mark graves in order to help prevent people from being matami themselves, etc. Where do you find that, a remez, a hint for that in the Torah? That's certainly Derabanan, that's not a Din Daraisa. So you do find the Gemaras asking remez on a Derabanan from the Torah. However, you also have a Gemara in the beginning of Makos, a famous one, which says, remez le'edim zomimim min ha-Torah minayin. A hint to the fact there is such a thing as edim zomimim, false witnesses, very loosely speaking. Where do we find the hint of that in the Torah? Is that a derabanan? No, that is a pasuk in the Torah. That is deraisa. That is certainly a case of biblical prohibition, of biblical issue, with a chiv misa, or in many cases. So therefore, the Gemara is clearly saying the word remez, hint about a deraisa, about a biblical. So it's not 100% clear what the word remez means. However, there is a Gemara in Avodah Zarah and Daf Lamed Vav, which seems to explicitly say that Yichud is an Isser deraisa. So you have an Isser deraisa that's clear in the Gemara in Avodah Zarah. You have a vague Gemara in Kedushin. You'll probably come out on the side of thinking that it is deraisa, correct? That is the common stock. That's where Rav Asher Weiss is referencing over here. So that is true. At the end of the day, it's a little bit of a question in the Rambam. The Rambam uses a very, very strange phrase when he talks about Hilchos Isser Yichud. He says, Mipi HaKabbalah. He says that we have a Kabbalah. We have a tradition, Mipi HaKabbalah, from the mouth of the tradition, that there's an Isser Yichud that exists. So what does that mean, Mipi HaKabbalah? So if you look around the Rambam, you'll find that in a lot of cases, he's referring to a Deoraisa, a biblical prohibition, but a biblical prohibition which was sort of a tradition that was passed down. A parish amakubal. It's a traditional explanation, a classic explanation of the Pesukim, but not necessarily explicit in the Pesukim. However, the Vilna Gaon in his commentary on Shulchan Aruch does assume that the Rambam thinks that there's only an Isser Derabanan of Yichud. So there is such a view in the Rishonim and the Achronim, but we're assuming that Yichud is certainly Daraisa. That's certainly where Rabbi Asher Weiss is assuming as well. Then there's more questions. How many cases of Yichud are Daraisa? Certainly one man and one woman is deraisa. But what about one man with multiple women? That's a machlokas in the Achronim, whether that's deraisa or derabanan. There's different indications in the Rishonim, the Rashba, and the Ran, and the Seches Nida that we don't have time to get into now. Okay, so overall, it's a biblical prohibition, which Rav Asher Weiss is drilling into us over here, and we're assuming that's the case. Now, he makes your point from before that really it's only a major issue. It's only going to be thought of as an issue when it could possibly lead to arayos, but nonetheless, it's usher, deraisa, to be biichud, two men, two women, one man, one woman, whatever the case is, depending if it's night or during the day, that's going to be a problem. So, therefore, he's a little perplexed, a little confused, whether there should be an issue over here. Says Rav Asher Weiss, maybe we have this heter that you're talking about, aviditayu tarit, that these chayalim are focused on their job. They're just paying attention to their job. They have to pay. If they don't pay attention, they're going to be totally remiss in what they're doing. They have to be very careful to watch the screens. So Rav Asher Weiss here says, if you look in the underline, Mikol makom mistaber de'ein lahater yichud mishum ba'avidutayu tarit. He says he doesn't think that there's a heter, a leniency, based on the fact that they're involved in their jobs over here. Why? Because ein zed dom l'shtei halachos hanal. It's not similar to the previous two cases. Why? Because the two cases that we spoke about are the following. First of all, you have a case of the guy on the farm who's making sure the animals are mating. So there, what's the isser? The isser is hirhurim, is thoughts. This guy is thinking about business. He's thinking about dollar signs. So he is not going to think inappropriately by mating these animals together. So therefore, the fact that he's on the job totally negates the isser. Or when it comes to the case of touching, like the doctor's case we were talking about before, touching is only an isser derabanan. Since it's only an isser derabanan, avidutayu tarit, the fact that it's the job, it's professional setting, takes away the isser. Here, we're talking about an isser daraisa, which isn't in your thoughts. It's a real isser daraisa of being in that situation. So how do we know? We have no clue whether avidutayu tarit should be something which undoes, which matirs, which allows this case of yichud. Yeah. It's a pasuk. It's hard for me to say it out just because the pronunciations are hard. But ki yisischa, it's a hard pasuk, confusing pasuk for me. But it's a pasuk in the Torah which talks about The case of Mesa Zemediach, when someone's trying to convince you to do Avodah Zarah, in the case the Torah brings is like a mother brings a son, a female brings a male into a room, and quietly, in a secluded area, tries to convince him to do Avodah Zarah. It's not really about Yichud, it's not really about Isra Arayos, it's about Avodah Zarah. But the Gemara sees from there an allusion to the fact that you're only allowed to be Mesiachud with some people, not other people. Is that helpful somewhat? Yeah. Enough that you're not going to bother me anymore. Okay, great. That's all I was trying to accomplish. Okay, I'm not a Baal Kore, and also it has to be a little bit of a tongue twister to the pasuk. But is anyone here a Baal Kore? I could say it out quickly. That'd be great. But Kisischa ben Avicha. Okay, so here Rav Asher Weiss quotes a very famous tshuva of the Radvaz. Kachaya ner lechora achra isi Radvaz. So he said the Radvaz had an interesting, I don't really know exactly what the question was, but apparently in Mitzrayim in Egypt, they had this situation in which women, Jewish women, would go to the house of a guy or a house of Goyim for days on end to work there. I don't know if they were cleaning ladies. I don't know exactly what they were doing. The taxes, probably they were the tax people back then. Also the Jews. So they went to live in the house of the guy for a couple of days, 4 or 5 days on end. Sounds weird. Whatever, different reality. And they wanted to know if that was an issue of Yichud, because they're going to be there for 3 days, 3 nights, 4 days, 4 nights, and they're going to be in the house of these non-Jews the whole time. So there, the Radvaz apparently said, if you look in the bold in the quote with me, Visu the honey v'hani ba'avidtayu tridi. He says, on top of all of the other things I brought up, which he brought up, he says he doesn't like the idea, but if you had to be mekel, here's the way you can be mekel. There's a lot of reasons to be mekel. Plus, avidtayu tridi. They're all busy with their business. They're not there to casually socialize. They're there to take care of, I don't guess if it's cleaning the house, take care of cleaning the house, whatever their job is. They're taken care of. They're focused completely on their job. He says, this alone is not enough, but if you put that together with all of my other kulas, all of my other leniencies, you can be mekel. That's what the Radvaz says. So from here, what do you think? Do you think the heter of being on the job works or doesn't work? So it's kind of confusing, right? On the one hand, you would think it works because he's quoting it. On the other hand, he's saying it doesn't work alone. You have to have other pieces to add onto the puzzle. There's also another point here, which Rav Asher Weiss points out in the next paragraph, which is that why did Ravaz back off and say it's not enough to have the fact that you're busy? Is because being busy is not a heter, is not a leniency in Hilchos Yichud. It's a heter when it comes to mating the animals. It's a heter when it comes to Negiyah Derabanan. But it's not a heter in Hilchos Yichud, or is it something else? They're going to be there for 3 or 4 days, correct? Are they going to be working the entire time? Isn't there going to be some point during those 3 or 4 days where these women are not doing their job and they're just resting? So isn't it obvious that over that, 48 to 72 plus hour period, they're going to have some points where they're not working and they're having yichud? So maybe the Radvaz, just for a technicality, came off of that kula, because it's not true in this case. There are points in time where they're going to be off duty, and therefore he couldn't apply the heter. So Rav Asher Weiss says he's not sure whether it's because it doesn't apply or because it doesn't apply in this scenario, but the Radvaz, regardless, is an important source. Yeah?
The example you just gave was in Mitzrayim?
Not like Mitzrayim during the time the Jews were there, but it was in Egypt.
Oh.
This happened to be in Egypt. Yeah, I actually meant to qualify that, because whenever you say Mitzrayim, it sounds like that. But yeah, like Mitzrayim is Mitzrayim now also. But yeah, but the Radvaz was a while back, but not that far back. Okay, so now Rav Asher quotes two tshuvas, important tshuvas of Rav Moshe Feinstein. If you look in this bolded paragraph, Ayin Begros Moshe Eben Ezer Dalet Samchei Shekasev Lahakel Isha Liibadek Etzal Rofei Afshi Misyachedes Imo Mishum Dabeavitei Tarit. This is our case. Rav Moshe says that we spoke of before, you quoted this Rav Moshe before, that if you have a female going to a male doctor, she's allowed to do so, even though they're going to have yichud, they're going to be alone in that room, the door is going to be closed, the secretaries know not to come in, because secretaries or nurses, whatever, know not to come in, it's not appropriate to come in, so that's going to be a case of yichud, even so, it's okay. Why? He's on the job. Ela shedan lichora yesh iser la'acher, I think, yeah. Ela shedan lichora, it's a typo. What's going to happen? They're going to have a 12-minute appointment. So he walks into the room, he starts examining right away. And then it's going to be 30 seconds after he finishes the examination until he goes out. Right? Or in the beginning, they're going to exchange some pleasantries. So there's definitely a point in time, earlier and later, where there's going to be yichud without the heter of being on the job. So Rav Moshe struggles with that a little bit, but that's one issue that he brings up. Vayin od b'dvarav, in another place in Yeradeya, in Chelek Beis, where he talks about, this is a fascinating tshuva of Rav Moshe. We could give a whole shiur on this tshuva of Rav Moshe another time. We're only going to be able to talk about one, maybe, or half a point in here. But Rav Moshe has a tshuva where he talks about a woman who needs to go, I actually forget now, maybe she has to go to the mikveh even, but I forget, wherever she's traveling, and she's in a taxi. And the taxi is a male driver. So is that called yichud? It's at night. So that's why she was going to the mikveh in my memory, because it's at night. She's traveling at night in a taxi. So is she allowed to be alone in the car at night with a man? Isn't that an iser of yichud? So there, Rav Moshe has just like a fascinating tshuva. But in that context, what Rav Asher Weiss is quoting for us, lagabi nesiyah b'monit, shekasav dehanag asuk b'malachta. One of the things that Moshe mentions over there is that since the driver is doing his job, he's focused on the road, he can't be distracted. Therefore, it's not an issue. He's avidetayu tarit. He's doing his job, and therefore, we're applying that heter that we keep talking about to the case of the taxi driver. There, Rav Moshe Feinstein, he admits it's a chumrah, but he is advancing a very serious chumrah that is actually very applicable. Again, not all the posts agree to it, but Rav Moshe does have this chumrah, where he basically is saying that lichatchila, a person should not be alone in the car with a woman, or a woman should not be alone in the car with a man. Now, many postum assume that when there's a window for visibility, this already, the Nod Yehuda already had this truth about this, but when there's a window for visibility, it's assumed to be a public area. It's not a secluded area. They're on the street, and the window is open. Even if it's closed, I'm saying it's transparent, so it's assuming it's not tinted windows. So it's like a Pesach Pasuach, the Rosh Hashanah Rabim. It's a totally open area. It's not considered a seclusion, and therefore it's not considered a yichud. However, Rav Moshe has a... I mean, it's understandable. It really is understandable. It's still a chumrah, but it's understandable. He has a chumrah where he says that there's still a concern. What's the concern? They're in a public area now, but what's going to happen? He could turn off to a side road. He could turn off to another area, to a more secluded area where it won't be public view, where it won't be obvious to everyone what they are and what they're doing. So therefore, because this case of being in the car alone can lead to something else, you have to be machmir, you have to be stringent already from the beginning of the car ride. That is a chiddush, that is a chumrah, but it's something Rav Moshe does advance. And again, we live in a generation where it's only positive to be machmir on Hilchos Yichud. There's no reason to look for kulas in Hilchos Yichud. This I have a Kabbalah already from my Rebbe Rav Shechter Shlita. Shaila is that I can tell you examples of this in my own life and other people's lives where I've asked Rav Shechter, and we've gotten to the conclusion where yes, in Shulchan Aruch it says this is okay, and yes, you should tell this person not to do it. Meaning it doesn't matter that it's okay. We have to know it's okay in order to help in situations where it's necessary. We have to know what we're makel on, what we're machmir on, makar din, in order to know when we need to use a kula. But if a person can, they should be avoiding every case of yichud, even when it's not halachically yichud. They should be living a dor paretz, what the poskim call it, that it's a generation where there's only problems that come up all the time. So Moshe's chumrah is a very understandable and a good chumrah, but it's definitely is a chumrah, as we said before. Either way, he applies our kula of avidetayu tarid, that they're involved in the job, that the taxi driver is driving, he can't focus on anything else, to this case of Hilchos Yichud, and therefore he's Mekel. But Rav Asher points out that that doesn't prove that we could always be Mekel on that. Why? Because the case Rav Asher was talking about was not a real case of Hilchos Yichud. It was a Chumrah, it was a stringency, above and beyond. Not everyone agrees that there's an Isser Yichud in that case. Even Rav Asher might not be convinced it's a full Isser Yichud. So since it's really permissible, Me'ikar Adin, strictly speaking, it's allowed to be in the car, and he's a taxi driver, put those two together and it's certainly okay. But you don't see from Rav Moshe that you could apply that across the board, that any time they're involved in a job, there's no Isser of Yichud. So therefore, Rav Asher Weiss says, this tshuva of Rav Moshe is not a proof. It doesn't prove that everything's okay. Now, that we've done a whole bunch of introduction, whether this applies or doesn't apply. Now Rav Asher Weiss tells us, but don't worry, it's in the Gemara, it's in the Rishonim. Ulegufan shel dvarim, look in the underline. Ulegufan shel dvarim, nira. De'ein lahakel b'yichud mishum da'avidite tarit. He says, there is no kula. Why? Because we have a Gemara, a Mishnah, and a Gemara in Kiddushin. The Mishnah says that if you have someone who is kol she'asakav im hanashim lo yisyachid im hanashim. Someone who does a job, his profession involves that he's always around women. That's part of his job, is that he works with women. Maybe he's a teacher in a girl's school. Maybe he's a doctor for women. Whatever. He has a job where he's always around women. Lo yisyachid im hanashim. He shouldn't have any yichud whatsoever with women. That should be across the board, not allowed. Why not? This is a machlokas. Rashi and Tosfos, all the Rishonim, deal with what the Gemara exactly is trying to tell us over here. But where Rav Asher Weiss quotes is from the Rush, who quotes Rabbeinu Chananel, who says that the idea over here is that the Gemara is actually dismissing a hava mina. You would have thought the following. You would have thought that this guy, he's an OBGYN. He's a teacher in a girl's high school. He's always around these people. These are his patients. These are his students. This is not a romantic encounter. This is not a casual encounter. This is a business encounter. This is professional. It's avidite tarid. He's involved in his job right now, and therefore, we have no concerns. He's not thinking like that. He's doing his business. He's doing his regular job. Says the Mishnah, no. Such a person still has an Isser of Yichud. Meaning you thought there was a heter of avidite tarid? No. He still has an Isser of Yichud. You hear what we're saying? Meaning Rav Asher Weiss is saying basically that this Mishnah is asking our question and answering it in the negative. It's saying, do we have such a heter that if a guy is always working around women, therefore he shouldn't have an Isser of Yichud? Answer, no. He has an Isser of Yichud. Such a person can't rely on the fact that he's just doing his job. That's not enough to prevent the Isser of Yichud. And Rav Asher Weiss proves that he thinks the Shulchan Aruch and the Ramah both assume this way as well, and the Nosei Kelim on the side assume like this as well, that it applies across the board. And the Sefer Otzar Poskim, they quote from the from Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, it's in the Nishmas Avram, that that he also assumed that the Avidatayu Tarad was not a Kula and Yichud, and the Raya he brings is a very interesting one. The Gemara in Kedushin Daf Pei, anyone here who, we're in Ezekiel already, right? But Kedushin wasn't that long ago. So when we learn Masechet Kedushin, towards the end of Masechet is where all of Hilchos Yichud is. So there, the Gemara tells us of a case where a man and a woman have to bury someone. So they go out into a cemetery, and they're burying this this person, and the Gemara assumes that's also going to be an issue of Yichud. So Rabbi Shlomo Zalman says, there's no way anyone has a Yetzer Hara at that moment. They're involved in the sad task of burying someone. They're very involved. They're both there taking care of the body. There's no one else to help them. They're probably busy digging and crying and whatever, eulogizing, whatever they're doing. And yet, there's an Isser of Yichud. So clearly the fact that a person is involved in something else and distracted from the Isser doesn't help prevent the issue of Yichud, and therefore the Heter does not apply, like Rav Asher Weiss also suggested to us as well. More to say about that, but here's the important line, and then we'll get to the Maskana. Says Rav Asher, Mishum Kach, the standalone line, that's bold, Mishum Kach Nira, the Ein Lahakel Be'Isser Yichud Mishum Svar Zobel Vad, El B'Sir of Taimim Nosafim K'moshe Kasavar Advaz. Says the Rav Asher Weiss, you have these two soldiers with two other soldiers, male and female, in this bunker Tatzpis, in this observatory bunker. They can't be making on Hilchos Yichud just because they're on the job. The fact they're on the job is not enough. You have to have other things to add on over here. It's interesting, by the way, that Tzitz Eliezer, Rabbi Eliezer Waldenberg, has a whole tshuva, tons of pages on Hilchos Yichud, but in particular, a whole tshuva about this concept of being involved in a job when you're involved in Hilchos Yichud. And there he suggests something very interesting. He says, you know, you have a doctor and a patient. So it's true that the doctor is on his job, but who's not on the job right now? The patient. You have a taxi driver and someone who's being driven. The taxi driver is working, but there's a passenger who's not working. So the Tzitz Eliezer brings proof that potentially you need both people to be on the job in order to have a heter over here, which is somewhat logical. You hear that. You need both people to be totally distracted, totally not thinking in an inappropriate way in order to avoid the Hilchos Yisur of Hilchos Yichud. So that's something to consider as well. Again, it's not necessarily halacha lemaisa, but it's something that Tzitz Eliezer does bring up. Okay, but in the last paragraphs here, Rabbi Asher Weiss tells us what the halacha is in our case. Amnam. We could be very makel over here, much more lenient. Why? Because it says as follows. This goes back to the beginning. We said, generally speaking, yichud means one man, one woman. But there are times where two men and two women is also problematic. When? In the dead of the night, or if it's a very secluded area, correct? Why is that an issue? Why is that an issue? There's two men there. Why is that an issue? So the post can assume the issue is the following. If if you have two men and two women in a secluded area in a field, at night, make it the worst case possible. So what's going to happen? Right now, it's not Yichud. You're right about that. But what might happen? One of the guys is going to fall asleep. Or one of the guys is going to use the restroom. He's going to walk a couple hundred yards away to use the restroom in the field. And what are you going to end up with? A situation of real Yichud. Daraisa or Darabana, but a situation of real Yichud. So the post can assume, since you have two on two, and it's overnight, or it's in a very secluded area, it can easily become a situation of Yichud. Therefore, it's problematic. Now, does that apply to our case in the bunker? What would you say? Why not? There's nowhere to go. The bathroom is there. The bathroom is next to them, and they can't go for more than 2 minutes, or else they're going to be, you know, fired and sanctioned and all of that. So that's certainly not going to happen. If they fall asleep on the job, we have the same issues as everything we talked about till now. They can't fall asleep on the job. These two people need to be awake and aware and in the same area the entire night. So if the whole chashash, you hear how he's thinking like a posik over here, the whole reason doesn't apply. We were asking the wrong question. We were asking, oh, they're on the job, so there's no issue of yichud. No, there is an issue of yichud, but there's two men and two women. That's usually an issue overnight, but it's not an issue over here because there's no concern, there's no chance that someone's going to leave or someone's going to fall asleep and leave the other two people, other three people alone, so we don't have any concerns. He also throws in what you said before, which is that if you look in the Chavos Ya'ir has a tshuva, where he says that if the individuals who are involved in the situation of Yichud are concerned that there will be some punishment for them to be together, that if they will do the wrong thing, there will be consequences, that's enough sometimes to prevent the Isser of Yichud from setting in. Because they're mirtas, they're fearful, they're scared of being, like we said before, you know, court-martialed or sanctioned for what they're doing. So therefore, that applies here as well. If they would be caught that they were not doing their job, and worse, they were doing inappropriate things during the time of their job, they'd have a terrible consequences for that. And that prevents, potentially, the Isser of Yichud setting in. Maybe that's not enough alone. Maybe the previous thing's not enough alone. But if you put together all three of these things, You start to have a kuli, you start to have a heter, and based on that, Rav Asher says, "Mishum kol zeh nira debishas hadachak." If you're really stuck, there's no other advice. Ideally, you wouldn't be in such a bunker. Ideally, you wouldn't have such a situation. But if you're really stuck, you didn't have any other way out of it, so that we totally make our din, it would be permissible to be makel, to be lenient in such a case, because again, there's no concern that anyone's going to leave, so you won't have a case of real yichud. We're not concerned they're going to be together because anyways, they're scared of the consequences, and you can throw in the potentiality of a kula, of the fact that they're on the job and they can't be distracted, even though it's not a good on its own. You put them all together, Rav Asher Weiss thinks you do have a kula over here. A very fascinating tshuva. Again, our thoughts are with the chayalim, not only in this particular scenario, but it's good to talk about them. Good to remember that they exist, and it's important to realize that they're asking these types of shaylas all the time. And how much they're, such a beautiful schlus to have a tzava hilchati, to have an army of people who care about halacha and care about asking shaylas, even the most scary of cases, but nonetheless an interesting tshuva in terms of halacha. Yeah.